mention of a peaceful time. Gracie, paint me a picture of a peaceful time. Show me what you're seeing. Ease my troubled mind. Paint the good, the bad, the righteous. Paint goodbyes that ain't gone. Paint the good, the bad, the righteous. Paint goodbyes that ain't gone. Keep on showing me the world keeps turning round. Like when I was a child, doing my best to survive.
Faith Nolan, the great Faith Nolan. This is Don White speaking to you, to all the listeners. I hope we have many thousands. Another special edition of Anti-Psychiatry Radio on November the 12th, 2010. And it's one day after the Remembrance Day, where in Toronto and other cities in North America, where people who are victims of the establishment, I'm talking about homeless people, poor people, immigrants, and, of course, psychiatric survivors are not remembered for being killed or being starved or becoming homeless. So I'm dedicating this edition, post-Remembrance Day, to a special Remembrance Day edition and dedicated to all brothers and sisters, psychiatric survivors and homeless people and activists. Now, I just want to go through some of the there have been many survivors, of course, who did not survive on the street or in the psychiatric facilities, which I prefer to call psycho prisons because they are, because of police violence, police stereotypes, and neglect, and in the psycho prisons themselves, because of sheer incompetence and negligence and extreme discrimination, which continues, friends. Now, I'm going to read off some of the brothers and sisters who have died. I attended most of their inquests. This is in Toronto. Because some died outside of Toronto, but I'm just going through mentioning their names with deep respect and letting you know a little bit about them, because the media doesn't give a damn. That's why it's important that we at CKLN have programs like this to remember some of the most oppressed and marginalized and discriminated citizens among us. And certainly that includes psychiatric survivors. Aldo Alviani died at the notorious Queen Street Mental Health Center, now called CAMH. This was back in June 23rd, 1980. He was overdrugged by shrinks. He was given hundreds of milligrams of drugs, of Haldol and other drugs. And he died 72 hours inside Queen Street Mental Health Center. He was there. He was picked up off the street because he didn't take any bullshit from the cops who had labeled him difficult to deal with while he was trying to be himself. He wasn't injuring or harming anybody. Lester Donaldson. Now, I'm doing this in chronological order, so just so if anybody's taking notes, it might help. Lester Donaldson, whom was very well known by the Black Action Defense Committee, an African Canadian man, shot by police, get this, while he was at home. labeled, stigmatized some time before his death, his killing by the Toronto cops, as schizophrenic. It seems to be a common stigmatizing label pinned on people shortly before they end up dead. Okay, skip forward to 1994, February 20th, the death by the police who shot Edmund Wai Hung Yu, a brilliant Chinese-Canadian man, homeless, who wanted to be a doctor. Yeah, he studied medicine. He was a medical student at U of T, at the University of Toronto. So he got on the day of February 20th, 1994, he's on a bus, and he got into an argument just a little bit before then with a woman, nothing serious, and TTC called the cops on him. I guess while he was on the streetcar, I guess. Yeah, and then he went into the bus, a deserted TTC bus, and then the cops, three of them, confronted him. And within minutes, shot him because they say he was threatening them. He had a ceremonial Buddhist. He was a follower of Buddhism. And he just took it out. Raised it, a small ceremonial knife, and they thought that was a severe threat. Three cops with guns and pepper spray and the whole shot confronting him. Less than 10 feet away, I think it was 5 or 6 feet away, and they shot him because they thought that Edmund Yu was threatening them. Anyway, there have been a number of memorials to Edmund, and there may be another one held in the Grange this February. I'll keep you posted on that. Okay, we skip forward to another death. Zdravko Pukic, an immigrant from Croatia. Young man again. Edmund Yu was young also, in his 20s, or early 30s. Mr. Pukic was in restraints, physical and chemical restraints, on a ward in Whitby Psychiatric Hospital. This was in September. I'm not sure why he was there, but it's usually bogus. When you end up in a psychiatric institution, you're either railroaded there, you're rarely there voluntarily. Anyway, he tried to get out of the physical restraints they had him in. Apparently that was too much for big nurse, head nurse, who called the cops on him, or I think she contacted the administrator at the time. Anyway, the cops were called by the hospital authorities. Get this, the OPP, the Durham attachment of the Ontario Provincial Police, storms the ward. It's a psychiatric ward, right? Supposedly a hospital. Tackles him, holds him down so he can't move. He's already chemically and physically restrained, and pepper sprays him. 30 minutes later, he's dead. 30 minutes later on the ward by the brutality of the OPP. Never charged. Oh, I should mention that whenever the SIU, Special Investigative Unit, does investigate any deaths where the cops are involved, no cops are ever charged or convicted. I'll get into that a bit later. But here we're remembering our brothers and sisters. Mirsala Alden Kampani, an immigrant, another one, from Iran, just outside of Toronto. Not sure where, but he was homeless. His body was, no, he was right in Toronto. His body was found a few days after he froze to death. His body was found under the gardener. Froze to death. Yeah. Who cares about an immigrant, huh? According to the... Well, certainly the police don't. So if you're not white and an immigrant, you got already two strikes against you. And being poor, that's three. and having a psychiatric label, that's four strikes. Anyway, I was at the inquest. I was so pissed off. I wrote something about Mirsala Alden Kumpani. I recall Kathy Crowe, the street nurse, was also there. She was upset about the inquest. The cops weren't grilled. The psychiatrist, who was a weasel, he was there and reported him, reported Mirsala to the immigration authorities for some reason. They thought he wasn't a status or didn't have proper status as an immigrant. So he never had a chance. Otto Vaz, many of you will remember our brother, Otto Vaz. Feisty man, didn't take any bullshit from anybody, stood up, was wrong, lived in the West End. He was in his early 50s. He had immigrated from Yugoslavia a few years before the cops beat him to death. That's right, the cops beat him to death. Before they did that, they already knew he was labeled. He had been in hospital, or been in the psych ward and labeled schizophrenic and bipolar and probably other bogus stigmatizing labels. So the night he was at a 7-Eleven store, College and Lansdowne, trying to shop and get something. So he got into an argument, verbal argument. So the owner calls the cops, and there's a struggle outside, and it's all caught on TV. It's all caught on video. Anyway, he was four Toronto police beat him to death. He died in three and a half minutes. Yeah, thrombo. Some kind of embolism or thrombus. Anyway, a clot in the lung is what killed him. And I think his wife is trying to lodge, and wife and son are trying to sue, but that's not working out. And the cops got off. All of them were charged initially with manslaughter for killing him. Didn't have a chance either. Sarah Carlin, 17 or 18 years old, died May 6, 2007, not that long ago, 3 years ago, in Oakville. Bright student, going to Western, I think, the University of Western Ontario. Anyway, she had, gotten into a funk, feeling a little depressed. Exams causing, I guess, some anxiety, but she had been into a couple other drugs. So she's a psychiatrist, and the psychiatry prescribes Paxil without telling her the risks. And one of the big risks of Paxil, as some of you may know, an SSRI, antidepressant, is suicidal ideas. Yeah, you can get really strung out and feel like killing yourself. Another one is mania, agitation. Direct effects, not side effects. This is one of the most dangerous antidepressants out today. So what happens? She's in her home and her father finds her hanging in the basement. So she hung herself. Shortly, it wasn't long before that the psychiatrist ordered Paxil for her and didn't bother to tell her about the risks of suicidal and didn't offer much alternative, because the shrinks don't do that. All they know is drugs. That's why I call them drug pushers. Most of the shrinks are. Maybe we should take a break, Mark, and come back maybe with a little bit more of Faith Nolan, if you got it there. I think I need some break, and I hope the listeners do, but I am talking about special edition. You're on listening to Antipsychiatry Radio, a special Remembrance Day, our Remembrance Day here at CKLN for our brothers and sisters sisters, the psychiatric survivors. Okay, I'll be right back.
Doing my best to survive. Crazy pain is, so I know we've been alive. Well, you holler and holler, you scream and scream. Oh, you holler and holler sometimes, you scream and scream. But you the one that's dreaming same things as me. Painted, won't you grace it, all the dreams we see. Sister to sister, soul to soul. Sister to sister, soul to soul. So we know. Painted woman, woman, all the things we know. Gracie, paint me a peaceful time. Gracie, paint a picture of a peaceful time.
All right, and that was another excerpt track, actually the same track, Gracie's Blues by the wonderful Toronto-based folk singer Faith Nolan. And special thanks to Faith for that, for recording that on the CD. Later I'll mention the CD name. I don't have it right now, but Mark has it. Mark?
What do we got here?
Right, Faith Nolan compilation. 1980 to 1986, 10-year period. Okay, I just spoke about the tragic death of Sarah Carlin in Oakville. I was at the inquest. God, it should never have happened. Overdrugged, overdose with Paxil. So a word of warning for those of you who have been prescribed Paxil. So make sure you ask your doctor all the effects of it before you consent. And then there's the death of another sister, Esmond Elizabeth Green, not in Toronto, but in New York City, an African-Canadian woman in her 40s, practically homeless. So she, for probably good reasons, whatever, she goes to the emergency ward of a hospital. Right now, the name rather escapes me, but it's a major hospital in the Bronx in New York. So she was waiting and waiting and waiting for someone to come. It's about almost 24 hours. Nobody comes to help her. And guess what? She collapses on the emergency ward. It's caught on TV. No, not one health professional came to help her. It's also caught. Yeah, so it's, I guess you want to check into her death. You have to just Google Esmond, E-S-M-I-N, and Elizabeth, her middle name, and Green, G-R-E-E-N. An African-American woman. And I'm pretty damn sure that racism played a part in the negligence, the gross negligence of that New York City hospital staff. I think they're being sued. I hope to hell they are. And then there's Brian DeBassage, the First Nations brother. He was in his late 20s when he died February 16th, 2008. Shot by the Toronto police in a park. Well, all right. Before he was shot, was in a convenience store near the Davisville subway. He took or stole two lemons, for God's sake. And because of that, the shop owner calls the cops on him, for God's sake, just because he took two lousy lemons. And at the time, he was allegedly drunk or whatever. He had alcohol problems, but that's no excuse for what happened later. So the cops came, two of them, followed him, chased him in a park near the Davisville Young subway. They say that he threatened them. Hell, he was the only time anybody could possibly think he was a threat was when he took out a small knife after being confronted with the cops. You could make a good argument for trying to defend yourself, particularly if you're a First Nations man and you're confronted by white cops, given the history of genocide in Canada. So what happens? The two cops shot him at virtually point-blank range, 5 feet away. It's about the length of, it's about the distance that the cops went when the cops shot Edmund Yu in 1997 on a bus. I was at the inquest. Yeah. Cops won't be charged. Cops won't be convicted. They were heavily armed. Brian wasn't. He was in crisis. It would have been nice if someone had offered him a place to stay and offered him some crisis counseling, but that's not in the cards, especially if you're a First Nations man or African Canadian or an immigrant who's poor. And now we come to another death, to a brother. A year later, at the notorious Oak Ridge Division of Penetanguishene Mental Health Center, one of the most brutal ones in Canada, where they have 150 unmarked graves. Kulme Agane from Somalia. He was there because apparently he was charged with trying to rob somebody or steal a car, I guess it was. He was in solitary, chemically restrained, with an overdose of one of the most powerful psychiatric drugs, Zyprexa. Zyprexa. Known to cause heart problems and diabetes and God knows a whole lot of other heavy-duty problems, physical problems. So he collapses, and the cops watch him collapse. Reminds me of the death of Ashley Smith, which I talked about last time. I'll say just a little note about that. Anyway, at the we're still waiting for an inquest. It's 2 years now. Let's see. He died March 14th, 2009. The coroner still hasn't announced an inquest. His sister, Uba, is doing a lot of important support work, and I hope, and I'll be in touch with her. So, Uba, if you're listening, please get in touch. And if you have some updated news about when there's going to be an inquest into Kulme's death. And, of course, not to mention the close to 30 taser deaths caused by police use of tasers in Ontario alone. Sorry, in Canada, I should say. There have been over 30 deaths in about a 7 or 8 year period. About a quarter of these happen in Ontario. Many of you will have seen the cops tasering Robert Chikansky, that notorious scene where the RCMP rushed him after he couldn't find his mother, who was trying to wait for him, and he got upset and threw something. Of course, after 10 or 12 hours, he couldn't find a relative to meet him. He was just coming from Poland. So who wouldn't be upset? Anyway, there are other recent taser deaths of Jeffrey Amari, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, 36 years old in Norfolk, Ontario. He was tasered to death. On September 17th of 2008, Sean Riley, 42, so the cops tasered him in Mississauga. He died shortly. Then more recently, on June 24th, 2010, there's the death of Aaron Furman in Collingwood, Ontario. Of course, the SIU investigated, and they haven't laid any charges. Surprise, surprise. But damn it, we remember these brothers and sisters, and I will not be quiet about them. And neither should you. If you have any questions, you want to make comments, you can call in, I guess, you can give me a shout. dwhites at rogers.com. DWEITZ at rogers.com. If you got more information that I just went through, I gave some summary statements on these brothers and sisters who died who are worth remembering, even though the CBC and CTV and the rest of the mainstream media didn't bother to fully report, except when there's an inquest, and even then, it's biased reporting. I want to end with sort of upbeat note with my friend Harvey Jackson. I wrote a piece about him called Here's to Alf. Harvey Alf Jackson was co-founder of the first psychiatric survivor-controlled self-help group in Ontario called On Our Own. At first, we called it Ontario Mental Patients Association. Then we got rid of the term mental patients. And he helped get a lot of people to work who were unemployed, who were down on their luck and so forth, poor psych survivors. He helped train people, encourage them. He was like a one-man social worker. Alfred had insulin shock like me many years ago in the basement. But he died on July 14th, 1997, and I just want to leave you with this point. Al once saved my life about a year before On Our Own was born. I hadn't found a job in 2 years and was still trying to recover from the tragic death of my son David from a brain tumor 4 years earlier when he was only 9 and I became suicidal. Alf offered to stay with me for several days. I accepted his spontaneous, loving, and life-saving support, just listening and being with me. Alf convinced me not to jump on the subway tracks, which I had planned to do. I would either have killed him. If Alf hadn't put me up, stayed with me for 48 hours or so, I would have killed myself or ended up drugged or electroshock after being labeled depressed or psychotic at the Clark or Queen Street. That's when Alf and I became soul brothers. I miss you, Alf, wherever you are. And that's my tribute to some of the brothers and sisters who died not mentioned. And now for a couple announcements, just brief. I know that Anna Maria Elena Escobar is on next with Ventana Barrios. Don't forget, if you're listening, please, to come to a fundraising event, the Pekong Show, Night of Comedy in support of CKLN, friends. We need the money. FunFest 2010 featuring Mark Trinidad, so $15. It's tonight, 8:30, so if you're near, if you can get to the Hideaway, 538 Danforth. And, for tickets, it's not too late, Mark? Maybe to get tickets, call 647-594-3118. Anyway, it's 538 Danforth, the Hideaway, a fun fest for CKLN. So we can bring you programs like this, and Maria Elena Escobar is on. And so thank you, and remember to stay tuned in and do what you can, because we do need your support and help to keep going and bring you these kinds of programs that speak up for our brothers and sisters, because you'll never get this on the mainstream. So take care, and I'll see you in 2 weeks' time. So help us and donate what you can. Show us your support. Now for Maria Elena Escobar, Ventana Barrios.